Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Romans 5:8. But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. And Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. We're studying the book of Jonah. We've made our way now through chapter 1, chapter 2. We come to chapter 3. When we begin our study in the book of Jonah, we reminded you that there are principles related to each of these chapters. At that time, I said that at the beginning of each chapter, I would give you the principles. And then when we came to the end of the chapter, I would also repeat those same principles. We've done that on chapter 1 because there were 10 points of principles on chapter 1. I did that at the close, at the beginning also of chapter 2. There were 8 points, 8 principles in relationship to chapter 2. Now we're at chapter 3. There are 5 points, principles. We will give these tonight and then we will review these again when we close the chapter at the end of chapter 3. When we get to chapter 4, we will discover that there are 12 principles. We'll present those at the beginning and then also at the close of the 4th chapter. Now, before we begin our reading, may we bow together for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts tonight, expressing our thanks for your grace and salvation. We've been singing tonight about your matchless grace, and we thank you for it. We realize that the scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We're thankful for the grace of God in salvation. The grace about which we enjoy every single day, living grace. Also, we thank you for dying grace. We ask that in these moments tonight, as we open our minds and hearts to your word, that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls and determine to apply those things which we're learning. We thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read all verses of chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk. He cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. They called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. As we've taken a look at the man, Jonah, we've discovered that he has made a lot of decisions that have not been in keeping with God's plan for his life. All of us are aware of the fact that when God made an impression upon his life that he was to go to Nineveh to preach, he did not want to do that. He left his hometown and went down to Joppa, as all of us know, and there he boarded a ship and went in the wrong direction. Most of us have seen the map, and we have been able to understand that he was headed in the opposite direction, not going toward Nineveh at all. We've already said that there are many decisions that people make in life. Some of those are good decisions. Some of those are bad decisions. I've reminded you on several occasions that you would not want all of your life's activities to be on a movie camera and be focused for everyone to be able to see. And yet that is exactly what we're seeing in the life of Noah. That's what we're seeing here in the life of Jonah. We see that his life is being presented in detail from start to finish. We see that he's made some bad decisions. What I want you to see is principle number one. When God forgives, the individual has the responsibility of forgetting the past and moving on. Let's pause for a moment there and see what the principle is. When God forgives, forget the past and move on. That's one of the things that you and I have learned as we have memorized and become very familiar with 1 John 1:9. Most of us are aware of the fact that all of us fail because we have a sinful nature. And when we fail, we understand that we're to do something about it. We admit our faults, our failures, our sins, and we accept God's forgiveness. When God forgives, we have the responsibility of forgetting our disobedience, forget the past, and move on. We're reminded of that as we study the third chapter of the book of Jonah. Secondly, we have a change of mind. And when we have a change of mind, we can also have a change of direction. That is exactly what happened to this guy, Jonah, when he found himself in the belly of the whale, the fish. He made a decision there. God brought him out of that situation. That fish, of course, for him was a grave, and the land upon which he was spat was the resurrection. When we have a change of mind, we also should have a change of direction. Number three, God makes no change of his message for the communicator or for the receiver. That certainly was true in relationship to Jonah. We discover that God did not change his message for the communicator or for the receiver. What we have to understand is, for every minister of God, the Word of God is the message. And God doesn't change the message to meet the desires of the minister. In other words, God makes no change of his message for the communicator or for the receiver. That's number three of principles in relationship to chapter three. Since there are only five, you can see that I'm spending a little bit more time giving you an opportunity to write these. Principle number four, the people of Nineveh believed God. Very interesting. I read that to you very slowly this evening in this third chapter of the book of Jonah. The people of Nineveh believed God, accepting the message and accepting the messenger. how fantastic and wonderful that is. Most of us know enough about the book of Jonah that we realize that this was not always in agreement with the desires of Jonah, because he was very upset and he was anxious to proclaim 40 days and then judgment's going to come. We find that he went outside the city. He was getting away from individuals. We'll get into all of that. Next Sunday we'll be looking at the fact that these individuals, and we read it tonight, that when they repented, they sat in sackcloth and in ashes. And we'll be dealing with that, sackcloth and ashes, next Sunday. The people of Nineveh believed God, number four, accepting the message and accepting the messenger. Number five, and the last of the principles we're presenting here in chapter 3, the greatness of the king was not when he was sitting on the throne, but when he was sitting in the ashes. I want you to be sure you understand that, because we're going to be analyzing this in great detail next Sunday. But the greatness of the king was not when he was sitting on the throne, but when he was sitting in the ashes. And you'll notice that the final conclusion here is, it is better to be in sackcloth, right, than in linen or silk, wrong. And when we get next Sunday into the sixth verse, we're going to see this presented to us very vividly. The greatness of the king was not when he was sitting on the throne, but when sitting in the ashes. And let's repeat, it is better to be in sackcloth, right, than in linen or silk, and be wrong. Now, with those points of principles, I trust that you listen attentively and carefully. That brings us to our study of the first five verses of this magnificent chapter. We're dealing with a subject tonight, that the mission has now been renewed. Let's look at it, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, I don't know where you are in your thinking, but I probably need to remind you of the last verses of the preceding chapter. While I was fainting away in verse 7 of the preceding chapter, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to thee with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. All of this is presented to us in this magnificent second chapter of the book of Jonah, where we have Jonah's psalm. And I referred you to a number of passages of scripture from the book of Psalms. We'll not repeat that. But in the last verse of second chapter, it says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. Now you have to understand that that's the last verse of the preceding chapter when you read these words. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So what I'm doing here is to let you see that the mission that has been given to Jonah way back there, before he even started out and went to the ship and went in the opposite direction, the mission is now renewed. I want you to also understand that a bad mistake does not keep you from serving. Now we could stay all night with that subject in that sentence, because I want to be very personal to you tonight, and you don't have to answer anything out loud to me, and I will not answer anything out loud to you. But the question that I have for you is, have you ever made a mistake? And I'm sure that you're already answering that. And so I want you to see that the sentence I have on the screen, a bad mistake does not keep you from serving. All of us at times have disobeyed the plan of God for our individual lives. All of us have had thoughts that have been improper. All of us have made statements that have not been in keeping with God's plan. All of us at one time or the other have overtly sinned against God. I'm not going to go into any details now in naming sins of the mind, sins of the tongue, or sins that are overt sins. I'm not going to name that because I'm going to let you do that for yourself. But all of us are aware of the fact that a mistake that we've made along the way, or mistakes we've made along the way, a bad mistake, does not keep us from serving. This chapter includes, number one, Jonah's mission renewed. The command is given a second time for Jonah to preach at Nineveh. So let's look at verse 2 of chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Now notice, the proclamation content has not all been presented here. Did you see it? It just says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So we have, number one, Jonah's mission renewed. The command is given a second time for Jonah to preach at Nineveh. And number two, the message was faithfully delivered and then overthrown, threatened in verses 3 and 4. So let's look at that. So Jonah began to go through the city, one day's walk. Now you remember that we explained how large this city is at that time, and that it would take about 3 days to make the way all the way around the city. We've given information in relationship to that city. So Jonah began to go through the city, one day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I can just imagine him going through the streets up and down and continually announcing these words, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then look at verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. It's very interesting to see the words and the way the thing is presented to us here. The people of Nineveh believed in God. They called a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now let's notice the points that we have here. Number one, Jonah's mission is renewed. The command is given a second time for Jonah to preach. That's presented to us in verses 1 and 2. Then when we go down to verse 3 and 4, the message was faithfully delivered and overthrow was threatened. Now there's number 3, repentance, humiliation, and reformation of the people is presented now in verses 5 through 9. We're not going to be dealing with all of this, but I just want you to be able to see what the outline is. Repentance, humiliation, and reformation of the people. If you'll glance down at verse 10, which is the last verse, and we'll deal with this Sunday, it says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now that presents to us something we'll look at later, God's gracious attitude. Now, let's go back to verse 1. What we have in verse 1 is further evidence of reconciliation. Jonah's commission is renewed and readily obeyed. We've already said this, but we want you to be able to see it clearly. A bad mistake did not eliminate Jonah from serving. In other words, what you need to see, and we need to apply this to ourselves, when God forgives, we have the responsibility to forget the past and move on. Some of you are saying, it seems like you said that just a little bit ago. I did. The reason I'm repeating it is because it's something we need to get into our thinking. In other words, when God forgives, and he does, we are to forget the past and move on. Right here, We could present a tremendous amount of information on the subject of repentance and forgiveness. If you'll go back to last Sunday or the Sunday before's bulletin, you will find the entire information in relationship to the subject of repentance. I would encourage you to take that information and analyze the material that's been presented there. Now notice, what we see about our Lord is that He has patience. Also, the Lord spoke to Jonah again. It's amazing to me when I look at this and I see how patient the Lord is. Have you ever discovered how patient the Lord is with you? I'm letting you think about this. Have you ever realized how patient the Lord is with you and me? The Lord has patience. We see that here in Jonah. The Lord spoke to Jonah again. It's just amazing to me to see how Jonah disobeyed God, how he ran from God, how God had things all mapped out, what he was going to do. Everything was prepared ahead of time. Prepared fish, a prepared location, a prepared time. All of these things prepared. Jonah had deserted his work. Jonah had deserted his duty. The scripture says, in essence, he was sentenced. Then he was released. He was given liberty. He was given another opportunity. Can you see what I was thinking about when I was typing all this for you? I was thinking about all of us. The Lord spoke to Jonah again. Jonah had deserted his work. Jonah had deserted his duty. He was sentenced in essence, and then he's released. He's given liberty. He's given another opportunity. I want to make this very practical. I want it to be very real to us tonight that God gives us many wonderful opportunities. God forgives, and we should forget and move on. The question that I have, and I typed it out for you, can God really have confidence now in Jonah? And I'm asking you the question tonight, can God really have confidence in you? The mistakes that you and I have made after his disobedience, can God really have confidence in us? I look at this and here's what I see. When God continues to use Jonah, it's a sure sign that peace exists again between the two of them. I don't want to go so fast tonight that you just let this go and not get it. When God continues to use Jonah now, it's a sure sign that peace exists again between the two. When you and I understand, really understand, as believers, 1 John 1:9, which we quote so often around here, and if we're not careful, it'll be like John 3:16. It'll be oh-hum, mundane, and it shouldn't be ever. When God continues to use Jonah, it's a sure sign that peace exists between the two. If you find yourself away from God, you find yourself having sinned against God, and you know deliberately you have chosen to go in the wrong direction, and then you wonder as you admit your faults and failures and sins, could God ever have confidence in me again? You think about Jonah. Just think about Jonah. Okay, lest I get too carried away the preaching part of this, let's go to verse 2 again. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I will tell you. Now, without murmuring, without disputing, Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. I told you about the book I read, and I usually don't read books this rapidly, but a book was handed to me last week, and I sat And within about 2 or 3 hours, I read the entire book from cover to cover, because it was a very interesting book written by a 96-year-old lady about Jonah. Now, some of the things that she had to say were quite interesting, and some that I could not, of course, think is very biblical, but she had a very interesting way of putting it. And it was somewhat of a novel, and I accept that. That's okay. But I enjoyed reading. When she emphasized, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Proclaim to it the message that I tell you." She gave some very interesting comments. She emphasized the fact that the fish spat Jonah back up on the bank at Joppa. Now, our map, as you will notice, doesn't say that. In fact, the map that we have shows that it was a direct relationship over to Nineveh. And that's okay. Whatever you want to do with that's fine with me. Then her story goes on to say, it was quite interesting, that he made his way back to his hometown for a period of time and then came back to Joppa before he left to go to Nineveh. And that some people in Joppa had become acquainted with him and they fell in love with him, and they were the ones who found him when he was spat up on the bank. And she explains how they ran upon this monstrosity that fell upon the land there, and they began to wipe away the seaweeds, and they saw his face, and they wondered whether he was dead. And she goes into all this, and it's quite interesting indeed. So you can do whatever you want to with that. I enjoy the novel part of it. But anyway, some of them fell in love with him, and he stayed there long enough to be acquainted with them and them with him. And some of them said, "When you go to Nineveh, we want to go with you." And she goes on to tell the fact that she believes that Jonah went to his home, back to his hometown, and then sometime later he came back. And then, interesting enough, when he was getting ready to leave, she said that she presents Jonah as getting the people together to go on the trip back, go to Nineveh to preach. And he looked up and he saw about 20 men, and said, who are those men? And found out that the ship had made its journey back and forth, and it was the crew members of that ship. I thought that was kind of interesting. And they were very impressed with the fact of the information that they received about this fellow Jonah that they had had some dealings with, as you all know. And one of them said, who was the ship crewman, said, the shipmaster said, "I can't go, but I would like to, but some of my crew members will go." And so some of the crew members, she emphasized, went on the journey back over to Nineveh to preach. And that's an interesting thing. But look at verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to them the message that I will tell you." Now, if you'll notice what I'm putting here, "Now without murmuring, now without disputing, Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now let's draw some conclusions. Number one, Jonah had a change of mind, no doubt about that, and a different direction in his life. Let me stop you there for a moment and make application. Jonah had a change of mind and a different direction in his life. That same thing is true of us. When we realize that we've disobeyed God and we've been convicted of that disobedience, and we admit that to God and we accept His forgiveness, His forgiveness, then there's a different change of direction in our lives. What he had despised, he now loves. What he had rejected, he now accepts. What he did not want, he now desires. Jonah could have said what David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." You talk about a beautiful passage of scripture. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Before I was afflicted, you got to get that. "I went astray, but now I've kept thy word." Question I have for you: Are there any advantages when the Lord sees fit to bring about in our lives some affliction, some burdens, some difficulties, some illness, some problems, affliction? Can there be anything good come from that? That's what we have here. David said, before I was afflicted, I had gone astray, but now have I kept thy word. Number two, Jonah was benefited by his change of mind. There was peace, satisfaction within. There was joy and contentment. There was confidence and excitement in doing God's will. Have you ever been on the wrong side and you got on the right side and accepted that joy and peace and happiness when you knew things were right? Do you see that here in Jonah? There was peace and satisfaction within. There was joy and contentment. There was confidence and excitement in doing God's will. Number three, Jonah saw the power of divine grace when he changed his mind. You're not going to get that unless you really listen carefully. Jonah saw the power of divine grace when he changed his mind. All right? Jonah is sent to Nineveh, which was at this time the chief city of the Gentile world, as an indication of God's gracious intentions in process of time to make the light of divine revelation to shine in that dark area. Are you familiar with Nineveh? Are you familiar with the fact that the people there were very ungodly, very worldly, on the wrong side, Gentiles? This is an indication of God's graciousness, intentions in process of time to make the light of divine revelation to shine in that dark region. Jonah is sent to Nineveh to preach. What was his first order back in Jonah 1, 1 and 2? The preaching that I bid thee when I first sent you. You see it? In other words, it goes all the way back. This is the renewed proclamation. Jonah is sent to denounce divine judgment against Nineveh, to tell the men of Nineveh that their wickedness has come up to the rim of God and that God's vengeance is coming down upon them. You remember we've emphasized the fact that the sins of individuals oftentimes comes up to the face of God. In the scripture there, in the Hebrew language, means coming face to face with God. Please notice that even though Jonah had refused to take this message at first, the message itself was not altered. The message is still the same. God made no change of the message for the communicator or the receiver. Now, did you hear that a little bit earlier in the message? You surely did. But I want you to see it here again. Notice, the Word of God is impossible to alter, change, modify, and will not be made to bend to the humors of the preachers or of the hearers. It's immutable, inflexible, rigid. Now, I ought to be able to say this preaching, hammering. I ought to be shouting that out to you because of how important that is. Preachers can do whatever they want to, but I promise you the Word of God is impossible to be altered, to be changed, to be modified, and will not be made to bend to the humors of its preachers or its hearers. The congregation cannot change the message and the preacher cannot. It is what it is. God's Word is what it is. Jeremiah 15:19 says, let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. God told Jonah that the specifics of the message he would give him in detail later, which gave encouragement to Jonah that God would be there to support him in a rather Herodias and hazardous expedition. Did you notice that the Lord didn't give him all that he was to say before he was to say it? When God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, he said a similar thing. Offer him on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Which really means the steps of a God-fearing person are ordered by the Lord. Please don't go home tonight without writing that somewhere. The steps of a God-fearing person are ordered by the Lord. We must understand that. Jonah must go now without hesitation. He's not been told all he's supposed to say, but he's been told to go. And he said, I want you to go and you'll be told what to say at the proper time. So Jonah must go trusting. And this demands implicit faith. You and I are not told everything. We're to trust him and we're to go. Jonah must go, knowing that he will have to depend totally upon the master's directions. You and I must go, depending totally upon our Lord's directions. That takes us to verse 3. So Jonah arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. The scripture says, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. It's described as a larger city than Babylon. I thought this was interesting. This historian, Cerculus, tells us that there was never a city like Nineveh. 150 furlongs long, 90 furlongs broad, 480 in compass, 100 feet high walls, so thick that 3 chariots might go abreast upon them. 100 towers, each of them 200 feet high. 480 furlongs equals 60 miles. There are eight furlongs to a mile. So if a person on foot made 20 miles a day, it would take 3 days to walk around the city. Now let me hasten to go through all the principal streets and all the lanes proclaiming the message. Would take days. But look at verse 4. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. He was crying out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And let's draw the conclusions quickly. Number 1, when Jonah arrived, he wasted no time. That's point 1. When he arrived, he wasted no time. Number 2, he did not look for the nearest hotel or the nearest motel to refresh himself. But he opened his commission immediately. What would you have done after that experience of being in that belly of the fish, all those experiences, those unusual, trying experiences? What would you have done? He did not look for the nearest hotel or motel to refresh himself. He started immediately. Number 3. Jonah had been instructed. He follows those instructions. Number 3. Number 4. There is an urgency from God. There must be an urgency in Jonah's message. Number 5. He must tell the people that this great city shall be overthrown by an immediate stroke from heaven, either by earthquake or by fire and brimstone as Sodom was, not by war. He was out there giving out the message. Number 6. He must tell them that this will take place soon. Wickedness ripens for destruction. Wealth and greatness cannot prevent or protect. Number 7. A 40-day reprieve is granted. An expression of God's grace. Space to repent. 40 days is a long time for a righteous God to defer his judgment. But it's a very brief time for unrighteous people so prone to procrastination. Putting off action, delay at this juncture is very, very dangerous. Verse 5. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. Notice what I'm saying here. This is a wonder of divine grace. Matthew 12:41 reveals that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonas, it says. But behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever read that passage? We have the strange concepts and ideas of Israel compared to the submission of Nineveh. Jonah preached but one sermon, but with Israel, the men of God reasoned with them, and they went on in their indifference. They were obstinate. We see here that the people, those people, accepted the word from the communicator, accepted God as sovereign, and to Him, God alone, they were accountable. Now right here, if you had not read the rest of the story, you would think, boy, this is going to be extremely pleasing to Jonah. He's going to be so excited. Everything is going to be wonderful. But some of you know better than that. And we'll look at that the next time. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much tonight for the opportunity which is ours to open our minds to the Word of God. There are so many things for us to learn. There are wonderful principles that we're to receive. Help us to understand that when we fail, we can admit our failure. We can be forgiven. We can move along. We're to forget the past, and we're to move rapidly, obeying our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much for the grace of God in forgiveness. We thank you also for the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, this will be such a wonderful time for them to believe, to accept Jesus Christ, realizing that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. There's no other way. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that even now. We thank you over and over again for your matchless grace, and we pray that there will be those who will trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.